Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. And men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show. Now, whether you've been a longtime subscriber or you're brand new to this thing, welcome. I'm thankful that you're here. When you get the opportunity, when you're done listening to this podcast, of course, visit some of the links in the show notes. One of them would be our website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole catalog of previous episodes. You can see what's available in the gear store. Sign up for the framework field notes, which goes out every week, focusing in on one aspect of our framework for biblical manhood. There's a whole bunch more in those links. But the last one there is going to be Loader Road Goods, who is the sponsor of the Wednesday A Quiet Life podcast. Now, I spent a little time sitting outside before I came in to do this, and I thought, the seasons are changing. When seasons change, needs change. And perhaps there's something you need to get when you think about Easter weekend, which would be Sunday, March 31st, or you know, graduation or some gift coming up here in the next couple months. Consider Loader Road Goods. You put in the discount code, A Quiet Life, you'll save 15% off of your order when you check out. Men, it's time for today's podcast conversation. Currently, as elders at the church where I serve, where many of you will be at the men's retreat once again this year, we are reading through the book of Hebrews. There was a period of time, a couple weeks, where Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 continued to come up. Hebrews 11 was referenced. There was just kind of a theme. We said, you know, maybe God's trying to teach us something. So we've committed for the 13 weeks to read one chapter of Hebrews each week, not a big deal, but to also kind of have a group text where we're sharing, you know, thoughts, maybe something we get from a commentary, maybe something we feel like God is impressing upon us. You know, from Hebrews 1, we kind of had a central theme we kept going back to. And so I'm reading Hebrews 2 this week. By the time you're watching this, it's going to be a couple weeks, but Hebrews 2 this week, the very first verse just jumps out at me, and visually I'm thinking, I know exactly what that looks like, personally, but also through experience as well. And personally, I mean, from a spiritual standpoint, through experience, I mean, actually seeing this happen with people. So let me read it. Hebrews 2, 1, therefore we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift from it. So what's the therefore? Well, Hebrews 1 is making the case that Jesus is far superior than any angels. Some people get caught up in, you know, angels, and I think we should be aware, you know, the scripture talks about that we can entertain angels unaware, but I think we get caught up in some things that we're not supposed to be getting caught up in. And so the writer says, therefore, if Jesus is far more superior, then we need to give intentional heed, intentional focus to his word, but not just focus or attention. It says pay much closer attention. Now, I got my NASB Bible out, and it's sitting over here, and it says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Closer attention. More than I'm doing right now? Yep, more than I'm doing right now. Why? You ever been to the beach? You ever been to the ocean? You know how the ocean, and I'm going to use the ocean a couple times here, I think, so just bear with me. You know how the ocean water just keeps coming in? Isn't it amazing the way it just never stops? It gets calm, but don't fool yourself. Water keeps coming in. Now, if water's coming in, that means water's going out. And if you've ever stood in the ocean, now I know it depends on which ocean you are planting your feet in. The waves and the movement of water is slightly different. But it's pretty much the same science. Water's coming in, and then there's a water that's being going to pull out. So the water coming in, it can be fun to play in. It can be fun to boogie board, body board. I haven't got to the place where I surf by any means, but I have in my younger days done some, what do you call it, boogie board and body board, whatever it is, where you have the board in front of you, and then I've done where it's just your body, and then I've done a little bit of skim board, and that's how you die. So, but you need the water to come in for that. That's the end. Then there's this pole that's coming back out. If you're not careful, there's a rip current, okay? You kind of got that undertow that's going, and then you got rip currents that can develop. So I love the water. Like, I love going to the beach. I could sit in a chair at the beach for hours. The same, I could go and sit in the woods in a chair or lean against a tree or whatever for hours. I love them both. And they both places have been very special to our family. I got a lot of stories and memories from both of those locations. I respect the water, but I'm very aware of what it does or can do. Water just keeps coming in. Listen, in your life, stuff just keeps coming in. We are in a place where we are constantly bombarded with information, with entertainment, with the possibility to connect or to learn or to know or to find out or to see or to... You want to know what's going on in the other side of the world? You want to know what's going on with the royal family? You want to know what's going on with the that rugby team and, you know, somewhere, you know, that you watch on ESPN Plus or what? You can find out in an instant. And what happens here is we can be set, the water, information just keeps coming in. Suddenly we have began to drift. Water going in, water going out. Before long, we drift. I love that the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, since we have this anchor for our soul. That's what Jesus is. He's the anchor for our soul. We're going to pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Now, drifting, as you know, whether it's a water or whatever image you want to put in your head, is very subtle. Rarely do you drift 50 yards instantly, but it's a foot, a foot, a foot, a foot. So if I'm at the beach and my kids are much younger and I look out and they were right in front of me. So yeah, you guys can go out there, just, you know, be careful. Well, I say be careful. What does that mean? They go out in the water, next thing you know, 25 yards to my left. So I got to go down there and I'm like, come on, let's get back. So we bring them back. Now, there's two ways to get back. You can swim back, right? You can try to walk back. Now remember, what you're walking back into is the water that was gradually moving you back. Now that's a hard way to go. Or you can come straight out of the water. You just say, this is where I'm at, and you make your way back to where you started. I think from a Christian life, there is something very important to learn from that. You can say, oh, I'm just going to gradually make my way back, and I'm just going to work my way. You're going to exert a ton of energy, and you're going to wear yourself out because you're not changing anything. You're staying in the same water. You're doing the same thing. You're just trying to go against the flow of water here, and that's going to be rough. When the kids were younger, sometimes you're like, they're not going anywhere quickly. Nothing's going to happen here. Come out of the water. You need a reset. So you go back and you say, okay, what were the things that I did? What were the things that I incorporated? How did I live? What was I connected to? Who did I talk to? What happened when I was most thriving in my walk with Christ? For some, they would say that was never. Okay, well, let's break it down very simply. What is the right thing to do? It is always right to do right. You see, I've blown it for the last 3 weeks. You've drifted. Okay, so now let's have a hard reset. Let's do the next right thing. The next right thing would be, well, let's get in the Word. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read Hebrews 2. I'm going to look for some application. I'm going to say, God, what do you want me to learn from this? Holy Spirit, convict me of things that I need to change or things that I need to consider. Bring to light conversations that need to take place. Now, if I'm going to say conversations, that's with the Lord, that's with other people. So then you ask yourself, what kind of community do I have in my life right now? Do I have people that when I drift will help me get back? Now, maybe you're like my kids. They've never helped me get back. I've never been in the water, standing there talking, whatever. Next thing I know, I'm down 25 yards. I've never had one of my kids come to the shore and go, Dad, come on, let's get back. Come on up here. They've never done that, thankfully. Maybe you're a guy that's never helped anyone else get back too. Don't always be the guy that has to be helped to get back. At some point, we should mature enough in our faith that we can be the get back guy. We can be the guy that says, come on, back down here. Nope, that's not good. Hey, buddy, haven't seen you for a while. What's going on? Hey, so-and-so. I'm amazed at doing this online stuff, the pursuit of manliness. We have our closed Facebook group. And that's for guys kind of just trying to see, you know, anything going on there. We have Facebook page, Instagram page, YouTube page, all that stuff's free. I'm amazed, though, at guys that get behind a paywall like The Herd. Just $5. But how little of engagement you might get from some people, and they're paying money. Then you look at Tribe, and you think, these guys have paid money. We had a meeting the other night just trying to figure out how to get guys to respond to messages or respond to videos or Zoom calls, and they've paid to be a part of this. So just because you've paid, that doesn't mean nothing. We're trying to help you not drift. But I think there's some guys that are really comfortable drifting. See, the problem with drifting from where you're supposed to be is you're really going to hurt yourself. But because drifting is so subtle, you don't believe it's ever going to be significant. And someday you look up and go, how did I get here? Or maybe you're 70-some years old, 80-some years old, and you're like, why am I just as stagnant in this season of life as I was in the last 4 decades? Because you allowed yourself to drift, and you never listened to anyone who was trying to pull you back, and you never became a guy who was pulling anyone else back either. There's something that changes when you see yourself responsible to other people. There's something that changes inside of us spiritually. A couple years ago, one of my nephews, it was one of those 6 o'clock walks to the beach where there's less people, and the little kids always like to go jumping, you know, can I get in the water? Yeah, guys, knee deep. Well, that's over. Well, they get out there and they're swimming. I'm not a big fan of that dusk swimming. I'm a fan of going down there. Temperature's cooler, less people. But this old boy got out there. And the water was coming in at a pretty strong clip. And it got to the point where you realize, hey, man, he's in a bed. Now, he's not my kid, but I'm telling him, like, come on. He ain't listening to me. That's fine. Well, nobody's getting him back. So I look at one of his parents and said, hey, you good with this? And they're like trying to get him back. So I yell, get back, you know, now. I'm not going to yell in the microphone, but I yell, get back now. And you can see he's swimming towards me, but he's not going anywhere. And he mouths to me, well, he didn't mouth to me, he said it, but I couldn't hear it because of the wind. And he said, I can't. And in that moment, I remember turning around, I threw my sweatshirt off, and I just walked straight in the water. It's a God thing, man. It's not a Baywatch thing. It's a God thing. I walked straight in the water. I don't remember how far out I went. But I got to the point where I was still walking. I know that. I grabbed him by one of his arms that he's got stretched out, and I just dragged him all the way back to the shore and probably dumped him on the sand. I've been telling you for, you know, and they just walk off. Like nothing ever happened. And I look at my wife and I said, he could have been dead. One time going under the water, and we may not be able to locate him. We don't have any... We're not so CPR certified lifeguards in this group. He could have been dead that easy because of simple neglect from the shore and a lack of paying attention in the water. Man, spiritually, it's the exact same thing. You could put yourself or you are in a real bind, or you could cause some people some harm. Now, I believe in that moment that was a God thing. Nothing affected me in or out. I didn't walk on no water. I'm not trying to say anything like that. I'm just saying maybe it was adrenaline, but I certainly believe the Holy Spirit was right there to and fro. Because when I look back, I think, boy, we should have been struggling to get back, but no big deal. Just walk off like nothing ever happened. Jesus told us that too. You need to take care how you hear. Oh, I hear things all the time. Take care how you hear. You see, the gospel isn't a song that you memorize and you know it. You know, there's certain artists, maybe when their song plays, you know it. You guys know I'm a Christmas music guy. Older the better. So a song starts playing, I can tell you who it is most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. I can tell you the artist. I can tell you, you know, I can even kind of see it sometimes in my head. The album, the gospel's much more vital than memorizing song lyrics or memorizing a starting lineup, or memorizing a process, or memorizing where all the parts go to a certain you know, part of your vehicle, whatever. The gospel is supposed to be our life. I think we could probably all agree we should devote a little bit more time immersing ourselves into the Word of God. Jared, I don't want to get in the business of checking boxes. I hear that often. I don't want to be checking boxes. Okay, then just by all means avoid the boxes. Don't check a box. see how that works out for you. Because sometimes, like getting out of the water, you need to go back to where you started. Where I started was, what do I need to do? I should read every day. I should get in the Word every day. I'm going to read stuff that I don't have any clue what's going on here. I'm going to read 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I'm going to read Leviticus, Habakkuk. I'm going to mispronounce half these. Yep, that's a good place to start. Go back to where you need to start. Hit a hard reset. Man, there's times I'll go back and I'll listen to music from that time. 1999 Promise Keepers, game changer for me. Game changer. I never seen anything like it. Never experienced anything like it. I remember I had my father-in-law, he wasn't then, but he gave me a couple tapes. We had tapes still back then. And he's like, hey, here's some music that we'll be singing and stuff. And I put the first one in. I said, oh, I can't do that. It was just it was like a cappella how it started. The next one had a little more beat to it. And I thought, all right, I'm going to try this. Never seen anything like it. That was a game changer for me. So when I'm struggling, when I find myself drifting, when I find myself just not where I know I should be spiritually, I'll go back to that. Yesterday I was doing some walking, 1999 Promise Keepers. I'll go back to some old music, man. It's good. Good lyrics, good theology. Yeah. Jesus said, pay close attention. The Hebrew writer said, pay close attention. What does that mean? It means it's going to be hard work. It's going to require focus. It's going to require paying diligent attention. Not just listening all the time, though, but doing. If I'm telling my nephew, get back, and he says, I hear you, but it doesn't move, we got a problem. We got to do it. How do you know if you're paying closer attention to the Word of God, if you're paying closer attention to what your preacher's preaching, to what your small group's talking about, to what we're discussing in tribe, to what we're reading in quiet life, or to what? Because you're doing it. You're living it out. Don't let Satan tell you, checking boxes. Once again, there are worse things in life than checking boxes spiritually. So to say, well, I didn't do my reading today. I probably should do it, but I don't want to check a box. Check the box. Get it out. Do it. What we're trying to do is incorporate some disciplines in our life so that when we get to our later years and whatever the Lord gives us, that we have a library of Jesus to pull from that we can recognize when other people are drifting. When they got some stuff in their life, we can help. Again, don't always be the guy who thinks he can just tread water out in the ocean and someone else is going to pull him back. At some point, you should join the guys on the shore and say, how do we help? How do we help less people drift away? When can we identify when a guy starts to drift? Now, will he always pay attention? No, there's a number of guys. Like I said, talking about tribe, there's a lot of guys that join and they just completely disappear. And you're like, I hope you're in a small group. I hope you're growing spiritually. I hope you're making disciples. I hope you're, you know, but oftentimes that's not the case. And so we try to, you know, kind of be that Coast Guard, if you will, going, come on, let's get back. And do they receive it? Occasionally. Man, think of it this way. Have you ever, like, walked through a sporting event or a convention center or anything that was just packed? I mean, packed to the hill, shoulder to shoulder, trying to get through it. You ever done it with, like, kids or a niece or nephew or someone? You know how diligent you are and they are with staying together as you navigate that crowd? You even communicate, hey, you know, gate 7, that's where we're going, gate 7, right? When you see that, or hey, don't forget, we're in 132. Like, you almost over communicate what's going on because you don't want to get separated in this mass of, you know, 70,000 people, and you want to, you know, or maybe there's something where you're at church or you're at work or, you know, wherever, and you got to talk to this person. You know, they're getting ready to take off or you're taking off, whatever, and they're in a conversation. Like, you'll just kind of drop anchor and say, I'm not moving until I get to talk to that particular individual. They're my focus. They're my person. That's what Jesus is supposed to be for us. And I firmly believe for a lot of men, and including myself, unfortunately, too many times, that we are just consumed with so much else that is getting our attention that means absolutely nothing other than Jesus. I'm wrapped up in, you know, my March Madness bracket. I'm wrapped up in an election and making sure I get people that are going to get out and vote. I'm wrapped up in, you know, the price of this. I'm wrapped up in what happened over here. I was yesterday, I ran to the store for something. And I'll tell you what, I've been telling you guys how I'm trying to look for somebody, right? Look for somebody, be on mission. Not yesterday. It was rough. From the minute I pulled in that parking lot to the minute I left, I thought, "This, what is going on?" Like, it just felt dark. It felt heavy. It felt like I felt defeated the whole time. I thought, "What is going on?" Well, I don't want to drift. I need to get back to the Word. You know what I did? One of the things I did was I took my phone and I turned it all the way off. And I left it on my desk. I didn't turn it back on till, I don't know, 9-something at night so I could plug it in, make sure it's charged in the morning. Today, I use it for my alarm. I know I got a couple texts on here. I need to get off that thing. You know what happens when you don't feel right? You feel down, you feel funky, you drift. And you drift on the reels. You drift on YouTube. You drift on Netflix. You drift on things that you're not supposed to be drifting on. You have no business treading in those waters. And then the next day you wake up and be like, why did I waste my time that way? I found myself last night, not on the computer, not on the phone, not on a tablet, not on anything electronic, just my son and I in the living room. My wife was doing a Zoom with a whole bunch of people over here. And I thought, man, this is the way it used to be. This is the way it's supposed to be. I'm not being consumed by anything. There's no algorithm, no nothing in my mind. Pay close attention. Jesus said in Mark 12:30 that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Can you fathom that? All of your heart. Who has your heart? What has your heart? All of your mind. What do you think about? What are you really thinking about? When you're driving down the road, your mind starts to drift, you're sitting in a meeting, your mind's drifting, you're in church, you're thinking about something else. Where's your mind? Jesus said, I want it all. You're loving with all of your mind, all of your heart, all your mind, all of your soul. Every single part of you and all of your strength. What's getting your strength? I think there's too many men walking around like Samson. Start to believe your own hype. You start to believe that you're the one that grew your hair out. You start to believe that you are somehow infallible, untouchable, some kind of superhero in your own story, only to be tempted and be completely ruined. Get your eyes plucked out. Too many guys like that. All means all. And if we're not giving Jesus our all, we're cheating him. If we're not giving Jesus every bit of ourselves, we're cheating him. Don't buy into some kind of vanilla Christianity that comes with a hammock and allows you to just sit on the side while everyone else is laboring for the kingdom. And you say, well, he's not laboring for the kingdom. Right. Is he on the narrow road? Are you on the narrow road? If you're drifting, get your tail back to the shore. Get back to where you're supposed to be. Drifting is subtle, but no question about it. It is significant, and you always end up putting other people in perilous situations. All means all. I just consider, are you drifting? You're like, man, I don't want to get too radical with this Jesus thing. Well, what's the line between Jesus wanting all and you or someone else saying you're becoming radical? I'd rather Jesus determine the all than some guy at work call me radical and that derail me, or, you know, someone in your friend group or family group, whatever. All means all. And brother, if you're drifting and you do have somebody trying to get you back to shore, you should, as a grown man, acknowledge their effort. I am amazed at how many grown men cannot return a text message, how many grown men cannot return a DM or an email or whatever. They ghost you. And I want to ask them, maybe you're listening, what is going on in your life? What is causing you the mental headspace that says, I don't need to return that? Someday you're going to need somebody, and I hope they don't ghost you like you've ghosted them. But more than that, I hope someday you're on the shore and you're stable enough in your walk with Christ, you're stable enough in your evangelism and your discipleship that you're able to help other people get back. There's a lot of people who have fun playing in the water, don't they? I got a lot of Christian friends who, they're fun when things are fun. They're great to joke with when things are jokey and fun. But when you need a rescue mission, man, you'll find out real quick who those people are. When it's time to get serious, when it's time to come alongside somebody, when it's time to console someone, when it's time to deeply pray for someone, man, you'll find out real quick who those people are. And if you got them, reciprocate it. You should respond to them. Be careful then. Pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Men, thanks for listening and watching. Think about it. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.